BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on VCY America. You know, every so often, we've done it a couple times a year, we put together a program entitled, What in the World? It's an expression that was often used when something's going on that shouldn't be. I mean, some of you parents or grandparents know what I'm talking about. As you've gone into a room where your children or grandchildren are misbehaving, and you'll say, what in the world is going on here? Well, sometimes we look in our society around us, and we've got that same response. We look at matters that are taking place in our nation or in our world, and we say, what in the world is going on here? I mean, there are times I hear a news story coming from coming over the airwaves through television or through other means, and I just say, what in the world? Well, today we've got some of those what in the world stories that we'd like to share with you here on Crosstalk, give you opportunity to respond a little bit later on the broadcast. First of all, from LifeSiteNews.com, earlier this month, there was a photo of a sign posted at a Wisconsin high school that went viral. It showed a mama bear surrounded by three cubs, one that was rainbow-colored, one striped like the transgender flag, and the third colored blue and shades of purple. It read this, "If your parents aren't accepting of your identity, I'm your mom now. Hashtag free mom hugs." Yeah, a photo, a signs posted up at a Wisconsin high school. It was shared on Twitter by Parents Defending Education, a national grassroots nonprofit empowering parents to advocate for classrooms that educate, not indoctrinate. And by several social conservative activists on Facebook, Terry Piper Thompson of the Eau Claire Area School District confirmed to Newsweek that the sign had in fact been hung up at North High School, but it's been taken down. Apparently, the sign had been hung up by a number of teachers. The school district recently had equity professional development training that included this, quote, "Late last month, teachers attended a staff development day in which content included a slide with direction to teachers that parents are entitled to know their kids' identities. This knowledge must be earned." Parents, you don't have the right. They're saying that knowledge about your kids' identities must be earned. You see, they are the gatekeepers. LGBT activists will claim that this training is necessary and that kids identifying as LGBT face genuine danger from their own families. Government employees, in other words, care more about these children than their parents do. I mean, that is the message that is coming through and through. And so we ask the question, what in the world? Staff development. National Review goes on to say that staff development sessions for teachers in the Eau Claire Area School District in central Wisconsin focused on safe spaces, gender identity, microaggressions, and oppression. According to one of the trainers, parents who disagree with their kids about gender identity issues are guilty of a form of abuse. The trainers also encourage the teachers to be activists, to vote, to demonstrate, to protest. Well, critics of the training sessions called the instruction, quote, "blatant disregard for the parents and guardians of our community's children," and they said it sends a message that schools are in control of children, not parents and families. WND.com also picked up on the story. In sharing, it says, pending before, just also what's happening in the state of Wisconsin, before the state Supreme Court, a district judge ruled against a Madison Metropolitan School District practice to let children of any age transition to a different gender identity at school without parental consent. That policy drew a lawsuit because it violates the rights of parents who make important health care decisions on their children's behalf. But Superintendent Michael Johnson has doubled down on his allegiance to the district in Eau Claire being inclusive. His statement said, "Our staff often find themselves in positions of trust with our students. The staff development presentation shared extensive data and information to assist our staff members in their ongoing efforts to create a safe and supportive learning environment for all the students." The ECASD, that's the Eau Claire Area School District, prides itself on being a school district that makes all students feel welcome and safe in our schools. The Federalist explained that three pro-parent candidates are concerned that are running for school board now and concerned that such school practices are costing parents their rights to their children and the battle to actually pit parents against teachers. Further, they also said claiming that information about their own children is something that parents must earn is a dangerous precedent. If identity questions for your child can be hidden from you, is diet, curriculum, health care, inappropriate relationships, mental health concerns, etc., are they also no longer the business of parents? Just what are parents and guardians allowed to know and when, the report charged. That further explained here at WND.com, and I say, what in the world? Here we have a school district we know better than you do as parents. Matter of fact, some school districts don't want parents to have understanding or knowledge of what the curriculum is, or it has special under the table instructions on for teachers and how to deal with things. You know, don't show all aspects of the curriculum. So show only certain aspects of the curricula. LifeSiteNews.com also reports about a math teacher in Kansas is taking Fort Riley Middle School to court for punishing her because she referred to a gender dysphoric student by her actual sex despite the lack of an official school policy on gender identity designations at the time. The Daily Caller reported that Pamela Ricard alleges that in April of 21, she received a three-day suspension and formal reprimand for referring to a biologically female student who identified as male with the prefix Ms., despite the student never formally requesting to be addressed differently. The school claimed that Ricard had violated its prohibitions on bullying by staff. Using that prefix Ms. was declared to be bullying by staff, but did not have a specific policy on students' preferred names or pronouns at the time. After the incident, the school distributed staff training documents on gender identity and gender expression, complete with the guidance of use of preferred names and pronouns. In response, Ricard requested a religious accommodation regarding any school policy that requires a teacher or school employee to actively state or otherwise use a student's or any other person's preferred pronouns or other gendered language when different from the student's or person's biological sex on the grounds that addressing students by a gendered, non-binary, or plural pronoun would violate her Christian faith. Last September, the local school board unanimously rejected both of her religious accommodation requests and her attempt to repeal her earlier punishment. A month later, the school formalized its new policy that students will be called by their preferred name and pronouns. The school and school district now threaten to punish Ms. Ricard again if she continues to refrain from using a student's preferred pronouns, express her views through silence. You see, you can't stay silent if you express your views through silence or neutral language or even engage in a neutral policy of referring to students by their enrolled last names or with other gender-neutral language, reads the complaint, the Lion reported. So silence is not an option. Silence is not an option. You can't use neutral language. You cannot use a student's last name to refer to the student. No, you must use their gender-preferred pronouns, their preferred pronouns. According to modern biology, now, folks, don't we hear this all the time? Follow the science. Follow the science. I follow the science. I believe in man-made global climate change. I follow the science. You know, everybody, you know, as it relates to COVID, whatever it may be, even though we see the instructions change day after day, month after month, year after year. So, in looking at the science, according to modern biology, sex is rooted in an individual's chromosomes and reflected by hundreds of genetic characteristics. In addition to denying scientific reality, coercing individuals to recognize an individual's gender dysphoria as gender identity coerces Christians and Jews to contradict Genesis 1:27 that teaches that God created both sexes in his image. Isn't that what we have? God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And a matter of fact, as this issue came up later in the New Testament, Jesus spoke out when he was asked about this. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Don't you know this? LifeSiteNews.com also has a story about how the Biden administration announced several actions designed to block Texas from restricting transgender drugs and surgeries for children after Governor Abbott ordered investigations into parents who are subjecting their kids to the harmful experimental procedures. This is government overreach at its worst, said Biden, whose administration is currently fighting in court to force doctors to perform sex change surgeries against their conscience. Now, folks, you cannot change one's biological sex. No matter what you do in mutilation of the body, you cannot change the biological sex of an individual. It's in the chromosomes. He added that his administration was putting the state of Texas on notice. He described affirming a transgender child's identity as one of the best things a parent, teacher, or doctor can do, and said that so-called transgender children are made in the image of God. The Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra sent a memorandum to child protection agencies across the country saying that states should use their child welfare systems to advance safety and support for LGBTQI plus youth, which he stressed could include gender-affirming procedures. HHS released additional guidance on patient privacy rights, telling healthcare providers that they are not required by federal law to disclose patient information about transgender drugs or surgeries. The announcement, Biden said, stresses that child welfare agencies should expand access to gender transition practices for children. To that, I asked the question, what in the world? And folks, it's going through every level of government, even NASA. NASA. And this is amazing. And I'm looking right here at NASA.gov. Through an effort to create a more inclusive workplace, NASA recently completed an IT project at Goddard Space Flight Center that allowed approximately 125 employees to test the option of including their gender pronouns in NASA's email display fields, which currently includes each employee's name, center, and an organizational code. The learnings from the test will be used to inform the advancement of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. NASA is fully committed to supporting every employee's right to be addressed by their correct name and pronouns. All NASA employees currently have the option and flexibility to include their gender pronouns in their customized email signature blocks. This option remains unchanged and is supported by NASA leadership so that employees can share their gender identities and show allyship to the LGBTQIA+ community. Letters are constantly being added to that. And friends, it's not stopping there either, because now also we have, as reported by PJ Media, move over, ladies, it's Women's History Month, and women are in fact history, or at least will be soon. Dr. Rachel Levine, the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, has been named one of USA Today's Women of the Year. According to USA Today, every day the Women of the Year lead and inspire, promote, and fight for equity, give others a place to seek help and find hope. Rachel Levine, though, ladies and gentlemen, is a biological male that was included on the list, earning the position of Woman of the Year. According to PJ Media, he endorsed subjecting kids to chemical castration, had a controversial time in the state of Pennsylvania as he led there the Secretary of Health, and other matters as well. But USA Today naming a man one of its Women of the Year. And I asked the question, what in the world?
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from a direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and today's program featuring the topic, What in the World? Certainly, it's one of those expressions that is stated when you hear something just so unbelievable. What in the world's going on here? Well, folks, we're going to continue here. Another topic under What in the World, and this is reported by Western Journal, about school shootings have changed education. Teachers and students receive more training on the subject. And teachers are often the ones that are put in an incredibly tricky position and sometimes have the power to end a tragedy before it really even begins. Or that's what one phys ed teacher and his supporters from Fulton County, Georgia, thought until he intervened in a very tense situation involving a student and was soundly reprimanded by the school board for doing so. You've got a teacher, a physical education teacher, that intervenes, and we're going to lay this out for you here. But he is the one that is being reprimanded. Kenneth Miller, a coach at Tri-Cities High School in East Point, Georgia. On August 20th, school officials who'd been planned an outdoor pep rally alerted to the possibility that some students were planning on doing something, and reports of students with guns on campus started coming in. Well, the principal called Miller, and they started to investigate the claims. At some point, Miller was speaking with a female student who'd been described by witnesses as belligerent and aggressive, according to the New York Post. Miller was asking her where the guns were when she reacted. According to WXIA, she then threw a stapler at him, and according to WAGA-TV, she knocked his phone out of his hand. Miller then grabbed her, holding her until police who were present during the interview took over. Later, a search revealed that the girl had brought a loaded gun to school and had been in her book bag. Well, instead of praising this phys ed teacher, Miller's quick actions, the school board had strongly reprimanded his conduct, first firing him, but later downgrading the firing to a suspension. The district administration does not support Mr. Miller's actions relating to this event and believes his conduct failed to meet the professional expectations it has for employees, Fulton County School said in a statement, according to WXIA. Mr. Miller inappropriately intervened in a student matter being handled by school administrators and law enforcement. Mr. Miller acted outside of the scope of his authority and responsibilities. Mr. Miller's conduct resulted in an escalation of a physical altercation with a student in crisis, which conflicts with district expectations to de-escalate in these types of situations. Well, an officer by the last name of Cleveland, Officer Cleveland, and AP Lawson corroborated Miller's account that the student was the aggressor, was highly agitated, and smacked the phone out of Miller's hands. The whole thing, though, has left Miller, the phys ed teacher, frustrated, especially because he and many who support him believe he directly helped prevent the tragedy. Well, you know, what's a teacher to do? He's told WXAI, he said, I don't feel like I did anything wrong. I only adhered to what Fulton County School Board policy says you're allowed to do. During that process, we located guns, he told WAGA-TV. We saved lives. Coach Miller is a reason all of Metro Atlanta does not know the date of August 20th, 2021, like Cap said in a statement, according to the Observer. That's because he averted another tragic school shooting that day, and no one was hurt. Everyone went home safe. Coach Miller is the reason these guns were found. And yet he was the one that was first fired, now being reprimanded? What in the world? Folks, where is the common sense here? Let's go to justthenews.com. Just 2 weeks after the Justice Department ended its program to thwart Chinese spies, the U.S. intelligence community warned Congress that China's espionage efforts pose a major threat to America's economy and national security. So here we had a program that's put in place by the Trump administration to thwart Chinese spies. The Biden administration does away with this. And then all of a sudden we get warning that China's espionage efforts are posing a major threat to us. The director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines, on last week Tuesday, submitted the intelligence community's annual assessment of worldwide threats to the House Intelligence Committee. China will remain the top threat to U.S. technological competitiveness as Beijing targets key sectors and proprietary commercial and military technology from U.S. and allied companies and institutions, the assessment states. Beijing uses a variety of tools from public investment to espionage to advance its technological capabilities. The document adds that China's willingness to use espionage, subsidies, and trade policy to give its firms a competitive advantage represents not just an ongoing challenge for the U.S. economy and its workers, but also advances Beijing's ability to assume leadership of the world's technological advancement and standards. Haines told lawmakers that China remains an unparalleled priority for the intelligence community, challenging the U.S. for supremacy across a range of economic, military, and technological domains. Chinese espionage costs the U.S. between $200 billion and $600 billion a year in stolen intellectual property, according to Mike Orlando, acting director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center. This is theft of America's future, a mortal wound to our economy, said Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China and the Great U.S.-China Tech War. China is trying to destroy the U.S. No country poses a greater threat, even close to that, Chang continued. We need to understand China's malicious ends. FBI Director Christopher Wray expressed similar sentiments in a January 31st speech on the threats posed by China inside the United States. When we tally up what we see in our investigations, over 2,000 of which are focused on the Chinese government's trying to steal our information or technology, there is just no country that represents a broader threat to our ideas, our innovation, and our economic security than China. Well, folks, let's go back in history just a couple of years. You see, it was in 2018 that the Trump administration launched the so-called China Initiative. Its purpose was to combat these threats and to preserve America's technological edge. The program run by the Justice Department, designed to identify and prosecute those engaged in hacking, stealing trade secrets, and conducting economic espionage for the Chinese government on U.S. soil. The China Initiative led to several arrests. It led to several convictions. The push to shut down Chinese espionage activities seemed to have deterred at least some potential spies. But despite the successes, the Biden administration ended the China Initiative last month. In a speech announcing the termination of the program, the Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson of the Justice Department's National Security Division said that while China stands apart as a brazen espionage threat, a broader approach is needed to confront threats from the variety of countries. He called this new effort a strategy for countering nation-state threats. Well, in ending the China Initiative, the Justice Department appeared to bow to pressure from a loose coalition of lawmakers, nonprofits, and academics who argue that the initiative targeted people of Asian descent with racial profiling. Olson said the initiative's efforts to prosecute academic researchers with ties to Chinese entities, including the Chinese military, can lead to a chilling atmosphere for scientists and scholars that damages the scientific enterprise in this country. Well, not everyone has agreed with that characterization. The China Initiative only had a chilling effect on spies committing espionage against China, said Chang. He told Just the News that under China's totalitarian system, no Chinese national can resist an order from the ruling Chinese Communist Party, including demands to spy for the government and steal U.S. intellectual property. Beijing has made every Chinese national a proper target of U.S. counterintelligence investigations, he said. Nevertheless, progressive groups and individuals had been lobbying the Biden administration to end the China Initiative. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt echoed those points in a letter that he wrote to the Attorney General Merrick Garland on Tuesday, decrying the decision to end the China Initiative, saying, quote, "The world is a dangerous place and liberty is not preserved with pandering and political correctness. This decision by President Biden and his senior leadership projects weakness, emboldens our enemies, makes our country less safe, and puts at risk the personal security of each and every American citizen." Schmidt's letter and Haines' testimony came on the same day that a private cybersecurity firm revealed that hackers working on behalf of the Chinese government broke into the computer networks of at least six state governments in the U.S. in the last 10 months. The hacks were part of an espionage campaign to gather information. And to that I say, what in the world? Here were some systems were put in place by the Trump administration to reveal, to expose, to prosecute Chinese espionage. And it's put into the trash heap of history by the Biden administration. Speaking of China, a story here from LifeSiteNews.com tells us that Chinese researchers say that they developed artificial intelligence, AI, that monitors and cares for embryos in artificial wombs, allowing for the expansion of simulated womb gestation. While the AI nanny technology is now being used to assist with the care of animal embryos in artificial wombs, the research team spearheading the technology proposed that it could help solve birth defects and other major reproductive health problems in humans, according to the South China Morning Post. The AI nanny is said to expedite what was formerly a time-consuming and labor-intensive process whereby each embryo in an artificial womb had to be observed, documented, and adjusted manually. Then any robot is able to detect the smallest signs of change on the embryos and fine-tune the carbon dioxide, nutrition, and environmental inputs, adding that it can also rank embryos by their health and development potential. When an embryo develops a major defect or dies, machine would alert a technician to remove it from the womb-like receptacle. The Chinese researchers hailed the ability of the robot to identify and even learn from developments that humans wouldn't notice or be able to address, speculating that the ability could accelerate the use of artificial wombs. Such research would help solve mysteries about physiology of human embryonic development, including about the origin of life, as well as help resolve birth defects and reproductive issues, according to the research team. Such proposals to use artificial wombs to help mitigate or reverse population decline haven't been limited to Chinese commentators. When Elon Musk tweeted in January that we should be worried about population collapse, one replied, "We should be investigating in technology that makes having kids much faster, easier, cheaper, and more accessible, synthetic wombs, etc." What in the world? We see states who take their initiative about not funding the nation's largest killer of children in the womb, Planned Parenthood. Well, now we have U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Becerra, delivered $500,000 to Planned Parenthood facility in New Hampshire, telling the abortionists that the Biden administration has got your back. LifeSiteNews.com reporting that WMUR reports that Becerra made the visit March 4th to deliver a dire need, a grant of $500,000 to the facility, which commits abortions on-site under the federal Title X Family Planning Program. The grant was awarded to make up for the state taxpayer dollars previously denied to the facility by the New Hampshire Executive Council. "We've got your back," the attorney general declared. And then have been, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and there have been some challenging times. I don't think they're over, but you hung in there, and we hope to make a commitment to you that we're not going to leave. What in the world? And then when you couple that with President Biden calling Florida's new 10, or rather Florida's 15-week abortion ban, he called it dangerous. LifeSiteNews.com also reports Florida's 15-week abortion ban, dangerous. Republican-controlled Florida legislature passed a dangerous bill that will severely restrict women's access to reproductive health care, Biden wrote. "My administration will not stand for the continued erosion of women's constitutional rights." No, we're killing them in the womb. What in the world, folks? Where have we gone as a nation, as a people? The Bible says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I'll have a few more examples after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Today is a special edition of Crosstalk called What in the World? Truly, what we are just seeing in our news today often provokes that question. What in the world? What did I just hear? What in the world is going on? Here is another issue that has been pointed out here in recent days. This one from WesternJournal.com. Addressing House Democrats at their Philadelphia retreat on Friday, Biden unleashed his anger on Americans who attribute our record high inflation rate to the administration's excessive spending. He said, I'm sick of this stuff. He railed this way, his hands pointing toward his neck to show he's headed up to here with being blamed for this sharp rise in inflation that began shortly after the passage of the American Rescue Plan, a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill last March. He said, we have to talk about it because the American people think the reason for inflation is government spending, more money. Simply not true, he said. He told the group that the inflation, which, by the way, began nearly a year ago, the inflation was caused by Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine that began 2.5 weeks ago. He's blamed the pandemic, saying, quote, from the moment he, referring to Putin, put his over 150,000 troops on the Ukrainian border, the price of gasoline in January went up 75%, and Putin began amassing troops along the border, he said, according to Fox News. Make no mistake, inflation is largely the fault of Putin. Biden is correct that the price of gasoline increased as Putin began his troop buildup at the Ukrainian border, skyrocketed as well when the invasion began. But what he fails to mention is the steep run-up that preceded the Putin price hike. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration data, the average retail price of a gallon of gas in the U.S., all grades, all formulation, in January 2021 was $2.42 a gallon. Again, that's the average retail price, all grades, all formulations, $2.42 a gallon. By December, the price had soared to $3.41. Nearly a $1 per gallon or an increase of 41%, that represents the Biden price hike. On March 10th, the EIA estimated the average retail price of a gallon of regular gas in the U.S. to be $4.33, a gain of 92 cents per gallon or 27% from the year 2021. Now, that represents the Putin price hike. Biden's attempt to pin overall inflation on the Russian president falls short as well. The Consumer Price Index reported on Thursday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed a year-over-year rise of 7.9%. He appears to have forgotten that prices had already increased by 7.5% in the year ended December 2021. As we talk about what's going on with fuel and the war on energy, New American .com points out, at a time when American consumers are paying the highest average prices ever for gasoline, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer persists in efforts to shut down one of the most important pipelines moving fossil fuels between Canada and the United States. You know, I interject here. Is she oblivious to what is taking place right now? I say, what in the world? Governor, what are you thinking? Whitmer is seeking to shut down the Enbridge Line 5 that transports synthetic crude, natural gas liquid, sweet crude, and light sour crude between Wisconsin and the states of Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec. Whitmer has been at war with the pipeline for a couple of years now. In November of 2020, the governor revoked an easement for the pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac that has stood since 1953. According to the governor, Enbridge has repeatedly ignored structural problems on the pipeline, making it too hazardous to continue to move fossil fuels throughout her state. Well, Enbridge has imposed on the people of Michigan an unacceptable risk of a catastrophic oil spill in the Great Lakes that could be devastating our economy and way of life. That's why we're taking action now, she says, and why I'm able to continue to hold accountable anyone who threatens our Great Lakes fresh water. Well, Enbridge denies that the pipeline is in poor shape and has continued to use it despite her revocation of the easement. In addition, Line 5 moves more than 500,000 barrels of oil and natural gas liquids each day throughout Canada and the Great Lakes. A shutdown would be disastrous to gasoline prices that are already through the roof. A new report from the Consumer Energy Alliance estimates that consumers would have to pay at least $23.7 billion more in the next 5 years in addition to already higher prices if Line 5 is immediately shut down. Fuel prices in the region would rise an additional 9 to 12% should the pipeline be shut down immediately with no other viable alternative to move the fuel between the Western Canadian oil fields and refineries in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Again, what in the world are you thinking, Governor? WND.com also tells us that Western Journal combined here, the Biden administration wants it both ways. The U.S. is pumping more oil than ever, it says, and greedy old oil companies could pump more, but they won't. So you can't blame us for the high energy costs, President Joe Biden and his team say. Except in their efforts to talk out of both sides of their mouth, they can't even get their propaganda right, they report in the article here. Witness a tweet from the White House account on Thursday about natural gas production. U.S. natural gas production is at a record high. In fact, the U.S. was a net exporter of petroleum and petroleum products in each of the last 2 years. And the critical response to it, folks, they put up a chart. But guess what? The chart ended at the year 2020. There's a huge increase from 2016 until 2020 in production. But who was president then? The Biden administration boasted of high gas production and drastically lower dependence on imports through when? Through the year 2020. And who was president at that time? Donald J. Trump, who made a very concerted goal to achieve energy independence, which he did in a very short time. But Biden said Tuesday, a week ago, he said, it's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true. And the White House sends out photos of these charts. The charts that are going up March 10th of 2022 of charts that show this record production. But the chart ends at the year 2020, not what happened under the Biden administration. Matter of fact, Washington Times also reporting that the Biden administration has considered slowing its approval of new oil and natural gas drilling leases on public lands, despite facing pressure to more aggressively urge fossil fuel companies to increase their production in the face of high domestic energy prices. The number of approvals in recent months has been less than half where they were at their peak around the time President Biden took office, going from as many as 643 permits in April of 2021 to as few as 95 in January of this year. That's according to the Bureau of Land Management permit statistics, a reduction of 85% since last spring. What in the world? Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on these stories, maybe you'd think I'm all wet, but these are issues I just, they're head scratchers. And you say, what in the world? What are you thinking? What's going on here? And we covered a number of issues. I'm going to have one more here as we wait upon your calls here. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. From frontpagemag.com. We have sanctuary cities for illegal aliens are not new and exciting anymore. Truly progressive municipalities like New York are instead becoming sanctuary cities for crack and heroin. Decriminalizing drugs is already a popular movement, but sanctuary cities for heroin like New York City are going a step further by operating drug dens under the label safe injection sites. New York City's government crack houses look like libraries with free TVs and places to hang out. Users break off to go into booths like the kind that they might house desktop computers or reading spaces in a library. But in the government drug dens, there are places to shoot up, smoke, or do whatever they want. There's also a private smoking room for the bashful junkie. The addicts enjoy free needles and hot towels that really bring those veins up. Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Chokshi, described government-funded drug dens as a vital new service to keep New Yorkers healthy. Nothing seems keeping people healthy like letting them shoot heroin, folks. Running a crack house is illegal. The Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986 makes it a crime to knowingly open, lease, rent, use, or maintain any space, any place, whether permanently or temporarily, for the purpose of manufacturing, distributing, or using any controlled substance, punishable by a fine of $2 million, as much as 20 years in prison, and people continue to lose homes, businesses, and their freedom for violating the crack house law. But Biden's DOJ now states it's evaluating supervised consumption sites, including discussions with state and local regulators about appropriate guardrails for such sites as part of an overall approach to harm reduction and public safety. All of this buzzword spin means that Biden is signing off on heroin sanctuary cities, they report. Heroin sanctuary cities no longer fighting crack houses and drug dens. They're opening government drug dens funded by taxpayers that further devastate communities. The government-backed drug den in Harlem is a block away from two elementary schools. I mean, we used to have governments that went from fighting to keep drug dealers out of schoolyards, now setting up drug dens within a short walking distance of the neighborhood playground. And the Biden administration has all but announced that it will sign off on the measures. PayPal, that relentlessly cracks down on conservative fundraising, has allowed New York Harm Reduction Educators, one of the nonprofits involved, to fundraise through its site. The government-funded drug dens claim that they're fighting overdoses even as overdoses continue to climb shockingly high levels. In 2016, 1,300 New Yorkers died of drug overdoses. Last year, it was over 2,000. In just 1 year, from 2019 to 2020, overdose deaths rose by another third citywide. Six people dying a day. Drugs are becoming a leading cause of death in New York City. What in the world? Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. And we're going to begin with Peggy in Milwaukee. Peggy, you're on the air.
Hi. I think that all of these what-in-the-world occurrences are being used by people trying to ruin our country by getting our minds off of the important things that are happening.
And what are the important things that you think should be emphasized?
The bringing down of our country with the economy, with the oil, with things going on in Ukraine and Russia. And I think this is sort of like with what happened when they were trying to get our minds off of Monica Lewinsky. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, certainly indeed, to bring our country down. And that's been the part of globalists called this Great Reset, you know, and to have a Great Reset, we have to have a Great Collapse take place. And in every aspect, there are those who are seeking to do that very thing.
Sure, and I think they're just trying to get our minds off of that by having us focusing on other things that shouldn't be occurring as well, the what-in-the-world things.
Peggy, thank you for your call here today. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. Alex, thank you for joining us over the brand-new KVDT.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to hear and tune into your radio show, and I saw you talking about petroleum. And what I don't understand in this country and in many other countries is that why are we putting a monopoly on almost every single industry, including like the Elon Musk of the world, when we can have a rechargeable battery connected to a petroleum-powered car or a thermal-powered car? And it just seems pretty self-defeating to me that nobody's really come up with these kind of inventions, or they've been hidden from people, or they've been suppressed. So I'm just wondering why your creativity isn't there in this country or something like that is happening. And I would just like to share my opinion on that. And I think it's a tragedy that a lot of these people who are very good inventors and creativity people are they're suppressed. So I just wanted to share my opinion on that. And thank you so much. Have a good day.
Great. Thank you, Alex, for taking time to call in from Fort Worth, Texas here today. And, certainly the open market. But when we suppress that open market in so many different realms and we're saying, no, you cannot, we're going to, you know, stop the production of oil. We're going to make it very difficult for that to take place. And how does this economy keep going here as a nation? Are we purposely trying to collapse it? Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last year on my radio show, I began to read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation that's entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Well, what is that moment? When will that moment be? My friends, I believe that moment is pretty much right now. What's going on? Massive food price increases, massive inflation, a fertilizer crisis, a fuel crisis. Much of this has all been manipulated. So many of the things that this administration and central government have been done deliberately to bring down America. Do we really think that many of the people in office today are working for America, or are they working for China? All you got to do is read the book by Peter Schweitzer to know many of them have been caught red-handed taking the money and influence of China. And now they want to accomplish what the Communist Manifesto calls for, getting the government control of the food so they can get control of the people. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Report.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, we welcome newer listeners, 103.3 KVDT out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Let's go back to phone lines. Christine calling from Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I just want to thank you, Jim, for your clear and cogent understanding of what is taking place. But, yes, the Great Reset, this is all being done intentionally, and it's hard to even believe. It makes your head spin, the absolute unbelievable evil against our own nation, and Christians need to be realistic about what is taking place. I don't know why we're afraid to acknowledge what is happening, but be very clear and pointed about giving the gospel now. And not only that, why aren't we participating more in our republic in the processes? Because we've been told, don't be political. We've been told by the Gospel Coalition, Southern Baptist Convention, don't be political. When these entities have pushed us to the Overton window to the left, the church has been pushed to the left also. So we don't engage anymore. Hmm. So, yeah, thank you for what you're doing, because you are fighting a battle that I pray to God will give us some mercy on.
Thank you for the call, Christine. Mike in Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes. First of all, thank you for all that you bring to your listeners. It's very pertinent and important information. I guess I'm just echoing everyone else. This is absolutely intentional. There is no incompetence involved. There is no mistake. There's no division between the LGBTQ, however many letters and numbers they put behind it. The BLM movement, all of them are all on the same page. They all have the same intention, and that is to destroy the country that we love and enjoy, the freedoms that we enjoy. We have a very, very limited time to take it back by any means necessary.
Mm. Mike, thank you so much. And it demands a heart change. And that heart change happens when people come to know the Savior. And we really need to see that kind of that new life spring up throughout this nation here. And Christians really to be that salt and light.
That is absolutely correct. And in my own church, I get to speak, and last Sunday I said, my intention is that you will love this gospel and the salvation that Christ has given you so much that if they build a giant statue and tell you that you must bow when the music plays, even if you look around and you're the only one standing, I hope that what we teach you in this church will cause you to stand for the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the call. We've got Barry next in Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, you know, all these events, like people are saying, they're intentional. All these people, Putin, Biden, Whitmer, all of them, they all get their marching orders from Satan, from the pits of hell. And it's all intentional to bring this country down, because America is the pin that holds the whole works together. And when America goes, everything follows suit, and that's just the way it's going to be. But we just need to be in prayer. We need a Second Chronicles 7:14 event is what we really need. People need to be get serious, get back to God, and start doing what God's word says.
Thank you for the call. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here's the next one, folks, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. West Dallas, Wisconsin, Jacqueline, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I agree with all your callers, but I think most important is our money. Let's cut out the credit cards that these stores we are supporting. There's so much Christians can do. We do not have to be violent or angry, but we can get rid of a lot of the credit cards. We cannot allow our children to bring home their gay boyfriend, their gay. We have become so tolerant that we don't forget we have a jealous God. Mm. Our God do not accept. And as Christians, we got to stand up and start reading our Bible, living the word, and to then bringing other people in or telling other people about Christ, and we don't live it ourselves. Start with the money. Pull your kids out of these schools. Go to doctors who are Christians. Go to schools that are teaching Christians. We have power, but we are allowing them to, well, the fuel, the left, to walk all over us because we are afraid to do anything. It doesn't take much to cut up those credit cards and shut them down. There's so many ways that we can fight back. And let's start with our money. And these schools where we put our money into, let's pull our kids out and send them to Christian school. And you might say, well, that's easy for you to say, but who got the money? Hmm. If you are a Christian, you'll find a way, and we'll support each other. but we have got to support Christian doctors, Christian lawyers. Pull your money from that devil's hand and put it where God can use it.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Marcy in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I needed one clarification about something, and then I want to say something about Biden. What was the funding going to in Florida that was it Disney that was going to cut off funding to the Republican candidates or something?
I didn't have any story like that here today, Marcy. I believe if you're referring to a previous program, I believe that there's been a cutting to certain candidates. And there's been a massive gift given to LGBT organizations from Disney.
Okay, well, going to Biden, my mother had Parkinson's disease. I heard early on before he was elected that he had Parkinson's disease, which is covered up. Those are psychotropic drugs that they put them on, and who knows what his handlers are putting into the psychotropic drugs, because what he says is not what he supported. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways, and nothing that you can hear him say can be believed.
Thank you for the call. I believe even the Obama White House doctor is calling for just a full mental exam to be taking place there as well. Thank you, Marcy. Okay, we've got Linda in Sardinia, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, that lady that was before this last caller that you was talking to, she is exactly right. The church, the Christians need to get up and take a stand, especially against them teaching transgenderness in schools and homosexuals. And I tell you, it is so sad that, well, like back in 73 when they didn't do nothing when they legalized the murder of innocent unborn babies through abortion. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have to pray for the help. We need God's help for this to save this nation if it's going to be savable. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Occupy till I come. Chip, we're down to just 20 seconds. Go ahead, Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Hey, I'm wondering about why our media, including VCY, and I agree with a lot of what VCY says, but why do they back Soros, back Zelensky in Ukraine and his political corruption that is Ukraine?
Yeah, well, if you've heard, Chip, we've exposed Zelensky. If you heard the program just last week with Alex Newman, exposing him for being one who's behind this New World Order as well, and certainly an admirer of Justin Trudeau out of Canada. So go back last week to the program and listen to the one with Alex Newman. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.